I'd like to thank Morris for his welcome again this evening. It's good to be back again with you here in Lurgan tonight, and we trust the Lord will indeed bless us as we turn to his word. It's wonderful to be reminded in these old hymns of the great love of our God. And it was wonderful as he looked down on the congregation to see a trophy of grace and many, many hearts. And it does remind us once again of how loving God is, because we are so unlovely in ourselves. And yet God loved us and gave his Son for us. It's good to be numbered amongst the children of God tonight. And as was mentioned earlier on, we're on our way home. And that's the wonderful truth for us tonight. We're going to turn again to 2 Peter and chapter 1. We went as far as verse 11 last Tuesday evening, as we thought on the subject of adding to your faith. And tonight I want us to read from verse 12 down to verse 21. And the subject that I want to think about tonight is hearing the right voice. Hearing the right voice. So we're reading in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we trust the Lord will richly bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow together, please, for a moment of prayer. Our gracious Father, we bow before thee as we come to thy word, and we recognize that this book before us is a God-breathed book. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of the blessed Holy Spirit upon the Word. And Father, it is to the Holy Spirit that we look just now as we ponder thy truth. We ask our Father thou wilt help speaker and hearer alike, that our ears may be opened, that our hearts and minds may be opened to the truth of thy Word, and Lord, that we may not only receive thy word tonight, but go away with it on our hearts and meditate upon it and seek to put into practice those things that we hear. And Father, we do humbly pray that we may be found growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. In this part of Peter's letter, he's giving instruction regarding the last days. He's conscious that he's living out his last days upon the earth in that what he describes as his earthly tabernacle. It has been revealed to him by the Lord in John's Gospel, chapter 21. If you want to turn to that, just to remind ourselves of it, John 21. The last chapter of John's Gospel. And the Lord is speaking to Peter. And in verse 18, in that lovely section where the Lord speaks to Peter and asks him about his love, and in verse 18, the Lord says to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." And then it says this in verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Peter was the only disciple, as far as I can remember, who knew that he was not going to be alive when the Lord came back again, because the Lord had told him that he was going to die. And of course, we live today in the expectancy that perhaps we will not have to die. We're expecting the Lord to come at any moment. And what a great day that will be if we're all caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But Peter knew that one day he was going to die, and he was going to glorify God in his death. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a certainty in our own hearts and minds, if we did have to die, that we would be dying for the glory of God? What a blessing that would be. It would make it all worthwhile, wouldn't it, to realize that our death is going to glorify God. But you know, we ought to be living to that end, that when we do die, that it will glorify God. And so that was the situation that Peter found himself in. But though he knows that he's going to die, he desires to leave a spiritual heritage. And he did, because we are living in the good of that heritage that Peter left behind him. We are here 1900 years later, and we are still studying the words that he penned under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we have been blessed as we have read through Peter's epistles on many an occasion. We've been challenged, we've been comforted, and we've been instructed and built up in our faith. And that's the kind of legacy that Peter wanted to leave. And Peter understands that the last days will be days of uncertainty. There will be false teaching. And he wants to address that particular subject in this particular letter. He wants specifically to impress upon the believers the importance of hearing the right voice. And so as he writes to the believers here, I want us to notice first of all what he says about the importance of hearing God's voice. The importance of hearing God's voice. We live in an age now of what is often referred to as multimedia, the multimedia age. And because of the rise of multimedia over these last number of years, we are hearing many voices in many directions. We've always heard voices from the world in different directions, but it seems to be a cacophony of sound that comes to us from every direction. And everybody has to voice their opinion. But we as believers need to understand that there's no true answers to life and living apart from the Word of God. Man thinks he has the answers, but God is the only one who has the answers to life and living. And I've observed in recent times that even in the Church of Jesus Christ today, there is much lateral thinking. And what I mean by that is that people are listening to what's being said by man. And we're thinking more of what man thinks about life than what God says about life. And many Christians have fallen into the trap of allowing the constant propagation of ungodly philosophies and worldly ideals to filter into their minds and into their hearts. And it's affecting the way that Christians even look at life. It affects the ability of Christians to live the Christian life the way God wants us to live that life. Indeed, it's difficult for some Christians to know what is the true and the righteous and the just way to live, because too many Christians are listening to the wrong voice. And you see, the programs that you watch on television and the things you listen to on the internet and so forth, all those things combined together tend to warp our thinking. And that's why it becomes even more important that we spend more time in the Word of God, so that the Spirit of God can form our minds and form our thinking. And it's become more important than ever in this present time in which we're living. There's a great emphasis today upon counseling. Now, I'm not against counseling per se, but I've had counseling. I've experienced it firsthand. And to be quite frank with you, the counseling that I received was no help to me at all. The Bible says that there's great value in the multiple counselors. But the problem is the counselor needs to be speaking wisdom. He needs to be speaking truth. He needs to know God's word, because the only truth is the word of God in this world. For instance, the psychologist would say that we need to understand ourselves. But you know, the Bible says that's impossible. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't possibly understand yourself. Other people can't understand you either. And these people are trying to give you answers to your problems, and they don't really know what's going on inside you. God says that it's impossible because of the deception of our own heart. The romantic, he says, just follow your heart. Well, if you do that, you're sure to be led astray. And so you see, friends, it's so difficult in these times in which we're living. We need to listen to the right voice. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, there is, according to the word of God, great value in counselors. However, they need to be the right counselors. And that's why Paul is writing here. Now, I want you to notice here that he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I want to suggest to you, friends, tonight that our stability in our life, in our Christian life, is dependent upon the remembrance or the remembering of God's word, or of God's voice, if you like. Peter says here, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. You see, when he says, I would not be negligent, what he's saying is, I wouldn't be careless in failing to repeat the truth that you already know and hold to. There's some people who get this idea when they hear a subject announced or they hear a passage of Scripture being announced to be preached on. Oh, I've heard that all before. And maybe subconsciously you have even said that in your own heart and mind. But it's so important, dear friends, tonight to remember that the Word of God tells us that these things are to be repeated again and again and again and again. Why? Because we are prone to forget. The very best of us are prone to forget. And I know that personally. I've listened to many as a preacher. And I found myself saying, I've never heard those things before. And then I discover that someone had preached on it sometime before and I'd forgotten all about it. I have preached sometimes and people have said to me, I've never heard that before. And then I discover their pastor preached it about 2 months before and preached the exact same things as I preached. And you see, beloved, I'm not saying this to make fun of anybody, but it just proves the fact that we do forget. And we need to be reminded. And Peter was very well aware of that. And he says, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm not going to fail to repeat the truth to you that you already know and that you already hold to. You see, repetition of doctrine is vital to the strengthening of God's children. We need to hear it again and again and again. Paul, when he was writing to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Paul says, Timothy, if you keep the brethren in remembrance of these things, you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A good minister is a minister who repeats the doctrines of God and the Word of God over and over and over and over again. That's the purpose of a good minister of the Word of God. And he says, not only will you be a good minister of Jesus Christ, but you yourself will be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. It's good for the preacher to repeat it, and it's good for the people to hear it. And that's the teaching of the Word of God. Are we listening to the right voice? You see, because things are not being repeated over and over again and God's people are not reading the Word over and over and over again, then we are susceptible to hear the wrong voice. And I've heard many persons say when you explain something to them that they're doing wrong, they say, I know, but. There's always a but. And you see, dear friends, the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I wonder, is that so for every one of us here tonight? You see, beloved, the steadfastness, our steadfastness in the Christian life is dependent upon the Word of God being repeated over and over and over again. There's not a time when we can say we've arrived in our understanding of the Word of God. There are many, many things that we forget and we need to be reminded of. And Peter was so aware of that. But not only that, we see also that the shortness of life dictates that we should remember God's voice. Look at verse 13. He says, yea, I think it meet or right or fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, speaking of his earthly body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. He says it's right, it's fitting that as long as I have breath in my body and I'm still here, it's right that I should, listen to what he says, stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You see, beloved, every time the Word of God is preached, we should have feel a stirring in our heart. You remember whenever the two on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord drew near to them and he began to speak to them the things concerning himself out of the Scriptures. And their testimony afterwards was, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way? Does the Word of God stir your heart? Or do you find it boring? You know, beloved, I believe the Bible study and the prayer meeting, as well as meeting around the table on the Lord's Day, of course, are the most important meetings of any assembly. And I believe that there should be more people gathered for the Bible study and for prayer meeting than there are gathering today. Because as we sit under the sound of God's Word, it causes a stirring in our hearts. And this shortness of life that we know, because James says our life is just like a vapor. Our time in this world is ever so short. I remember someone saying to me some years ago, and I didn't understand it until now. You know, this person said, you know, when you reach 70, he says, every year is reduced to 6 months. It seems just 6 months instead of a year. And I'm beginning to understand that now. Life at best is very brief, like a falling of a leaf. And we sing that hymn for the unsaved, be in time. But beloved, we need to take heed to that hymn ourselves. We're only here for a little while. And we need to understand that in that little while, we need to grow in our knowledge of the Lord. We need to be reminded of the things that God has given to us to understand and to know in His Word. Time is short. And what an awful thing it would be to stand in glory before the Lord, ignorant of the things that the Lord had revealed to us. And we're going to understand that we lost out in life because we didn't give ourselves to the reading of the Word. Because in the reading of the Word, not only is our heart stirred, but when we read the Word, the Lord draws near to us. And the Lord reveals Himself to us. And the Lord confirms His promises to us. And like the two on the road to Emmaus, He teaches us the things concerning Himself. Oh, how we lose out if we're not listening to the right voice. And then thirdly, we see here that the secret of our effectiveness is the determination to remember God's voice. Look at verse 15. Peter says, "Moreover, I will endeavor, listen, that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." He says, when I'm gone, the word decease there means to exit or to exodus out of this world. That's what Peter had in his mind. He says, I will endeavor that you may be able after I have gone, he says, to remember these things always. Peter understood the importance of the effectiveness of the Word of God in the life of the child of God. You know, beloved, I don't believe that modern Christians today realize the importance of feeding upon the Word of God. It takes time. There are other things that have to be sacrificed. Sometimes sleep has to be sacrificed. Other pleasures have to be sacrificed. Other legitimate things have to be sacrificed. Promotion may have to be sacrificed because the promotion might take up all the time that you have to study the Word and pray. You see, promotion isn't everything. The most important thing in our lives, as Peter says at the end of this epistle, is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't happen unless you spend time. And Peter was a good servant of Jesus Christ. He had a genuine love for the child of God. And he wanted them to remember when he was gone. He wanted them to remember the things that they'd been taught. I was just thinking this evening before I came to the meeting of my own dear father. This coming April, he'll be 30 years gone into the presence of the Lord at 64 years of age. But you know, to this very day, I often on my knees thank God for the heritage that I received from my father. How that from a child he taught me to pray and he taught me to read the Word of God. He gathered his five children around him and he prayed for them. He got us to pray. He got us to read the Scriptures. He taught us and he repeated over and over again the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're all saved young in life, because we had the Word of God repeated to us over and over and over again. And I still thank God 30 years later for the foundation that my father gave me. He left a spiritual heritage. He didn't leave me any money. He didn't have any. We were poor growing up. My mother and father didn't have very much. In fact, there was one time my mother had some bread and she had nothing to put on it. And she prayed the Lord would send her something. And within about 20 minutes, there was a knock on the door, and as a lady, a neighbor came, and she says, "Look, Mrs. Cosby," she says, "there's a friends of ours came from the country, and they brought me some pots of jam, homemade jam. Would you like one?" And that's what she put on the bread and answered in prayer. We didn't have very much, but what we do have is a wonderful spiritual heritage. And you know, they saw their five children saved. And I've seen my three children saved. I've seen my six grandchildren saved. And it's all because of the heritage of my father. You see, beloved, this is what we ought to be doing for our young people and our children today. Yes, it's good to have fun. I have no objections to having fun. I like a joke and all that kind of thing, and I like to have physical exercise and all those things. But the most important thing in all the world for us as believers is to leave a godly heritage. Even in the Old Testament, Moses speaking to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." He goes on in chapter 6 and verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He says you've got to be speaking forth the word of God. Let your children hear the voice of God. Beloved, that's no less important today. We can talk about a whole lot of things. We do a whole lot of things for our children today. Give them all the things that they can have in this world and take them all the places they want to go. But do we sit in the house and talk about the Lord? Do we sit in the house and read the Word of God and study the Word of God together? The Word of God says this is vitally important. Because the secret of our effectiveness for God is determined by how we remember the Word of God. So vitally important. That's the importance of hearing God's voice. But I want you to see, secondly, that the instruction that instilled Peter's conviction to hear that voice. Listen to what Peter says. He sets his mind back just a short time before, if you like. He says in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." That's made up stories. He says we haven't followed made up stories when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The incident of the transfiguration had a lasting effect upon Peter. And it seems that there were those possibly who were mocking the testimony of Peter and James and John concerning the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Because he says here, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you know, dear friends, there are many people today, people who do propagate fables, like the evolutionists, and yet they tell us the Bible's a myth, the Bible's a fable. They're the ones who are gossiping fables. They have no evidence of, no proof for what they say, and yet we have a book in our hands. A book of infallible proofs for the existence of God, for the coming of God's Son into the world, for his death and burial and resurrection power, the life-changing life that he gives to those who believe in him. We have an amount of evidence and witness for these things that cannot be measured. And yet they say, we're talking myths. Peter says here, we're not talking about myths, we're not talking about fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But you know, beloved, we may not have been on the Mount of Transfiguration like Peter was, but we are eyewitnesses of the grace of God if we are saved tonight. The old song that the male voice choir used to sing went like this: "I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. His spirit burning in me set my heart aglow. So I'll praise the Lord today. He has washed my sins away. I was there when it happened, and I ought to know." That's no fable. That's reality. It's just as real as Peter standing on the Mount of Transfiguration. And beloved, you know, it's a wonderful thing that we're able to speak forth the Word of God. We're standing on the promises of God. And you see, beloved, we ought to be able to proclaim this Word with great confidence. This Word is real. I want you to notice here that Peter talks about the source of this voice. This is not a fable, he says. This is the Word of the Father. It says, verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory." Peter says the Father spake from heaven to the Son. That's no fable. That's the voice of God the Father. What a wonderful truth. And beloved, if we are saved tonight, I think it was Nicholson that said on one occasion, you cannot be saved and not know it, and you cannot be saved and not show it. When the work of grace is wrought in the heart, then it's a definite experience. We don't build our doctrines on experiences, but the experience of salvation is real. And we ought to be able to show that out in our lives. We don't follow fables. God's voice has spoken to our hearts. He has by His voice convicted us of our sin. He has by His voice revealed to us His salvation in Jesus Christ. And by His voice He has called us to Himself. These are not fables. We may not be academic and able to argue against some of these guys, but there's nothing can take away the true experience of hearing the voice of God in the heart and in the soul. It's like the old Scottish woman said, it's better felt than telt. But you see, that's the reason why we need to keep repeating the Word of God. Because these are not fables. This is the voice of Almighty God. I want you to notice here the subject of the voice. It says in verse 17, he received from God, he's speaking about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitness of His majesty. Verse 17 says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." I want you to notice here the subject of the voice. The Father was speaking to the Son. And the Father was speaking of the Son. He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Beloved, if you're listening to the right voice, that voice will reveal to you the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That voice will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That voice will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I've sat through some preaching in my time, and the Lord Jesus Christ was hardly mentioned. It's not the right voice. You see, the right voice is going to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the subject of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And you can't preach the Word of God without preaching Christ. And that's why we need to be kept in remembrance of these things. You see, beloved, this voice spoke of honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 again, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory." The right voice will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The right voice will glorify Him. And that's what we are called to do. The Lord said to His disciples before Pentecost, He says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." We need more Christ-centered preaching. There's nothing wrong with topical preaching, but there's more topical preaching today than there is Christ-centered preaching. I would guarantee you that perhaps about 80% of the church today knows very little about the character of Christ. We need to be preaching doctrine. I've heard Christians say they're not interested in doctrine. Doctrine's too heavy. Well, doctrine just means teaching. And surely if the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you, you want to know more about him. That's why Peter says that he would not be negligent in putting them in remembrance, repeating the things that they've heard, glorifying and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he was honored and glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration by the Father. And any teaching that draws us away from the wonderful person of Christ, his majesty, his honor, his glory, is false teaching. And we need to have an ear to hear the right voice. What do you notice then the impact that the voice should have on our living? Peter says here in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What do you notice what Peter says here? He says that this voice will give us assurance. He says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. This word that we have in our hands tonight is the God-breathed word. It's infallible. It's trustworthy. And if anybody comes off with anything that is contrary to the word of God, they're liars. And even if you can't argue with them, they're still liars. Because this is a God-breathed word. Our God cannot lie. And we can stand in every word that God has revealed in his word. It gives us assurance when we're able to stand upon the word of God. When we're able to rebuff those who would be against us by saying, thus saith the Lord. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. That's why we need the word repeated constantly in our hearts and in our minds. It doesn't only give us assurance, but it commands our attention. Peter says here, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's why the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're living in a dark world. How can a Christian find their way through this old, dark, evil, wicked, vile world without the word of God? And indeed, you see, we can't do without it because the Lord says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, John records that for us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The Lord says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I wonder, do we really know that God's word is a lamp and a light to our feet in experience? It's all right quoting the verse. But are we following that word? Are we walking in the light of God's truth? It's so essential for us. It'll have an impact upon our lives. But not only that, it stirs our anticipation. He says, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star or morning star arise in your hearts. You see, beloved, this subject of the morning star is a wonderful subject, and we don't have time to go into it tonight. But speaking, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming again. And you know, over these last 20 or 30 years, there's been a decreasing interest in the preaching and the second coming. I know that there are some men who are stirring up preaching again today, and I'm glad about that. But I have on occasions preached on the second coming in different places across the province, and many people have said they haven't heard it preached on for a long, long time. And yet, if we are being reminded of the Word of God, Peter says here that that Word is going to hold us in anticipation until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The risen Lord Jesus Christ wants to manifest Himself to us, because He's coming again. We ought to have our anticipation of the Lord's coming stirred within us. That was all the apostles preaching, Paul and Peter and John. They all spoke about the Lord's coming again. In fact, Paul was only in Thessalonica just 3 Sabbath days. And when he writes his first letter to the church in Thessalonica, he speaks to what he taught. He says this in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 1, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And listen, "and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Paul had been teaching them about the second coming of Christ on the 3 Sabbath days that he was with them, and they trusted the Lord. He was preaching the second coming. And he says, those who received the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation were anticipating. They were looking for God's Son from heaven. And they were just saved. Are we looking for God's Son from heaven? Sometimes we're more worried about Brexit than the Lord's coming. You see, all these things are under God's control. I'm not too worried about it. I would love to see us out. But I'm not worried about it, because it's all under God's control. I'm looking for the Lord from heaven. And we need to be preaching today that God's people will be stirred in their hearts by the remembrance of these things. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let the voice of God be heard in our preaching. And if that happens, who knows what the Lord will do in this province? We need our hearts stirred by way of remembrance, because the Lord's coming again. And finally, as we close, Peter has a word to say about the inspiration of the voice. It says, verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." You know, a popular phrase in the church today when the Word of God is being debated or the preacher's preaching, "Well, that's just your opinion." And I want to say to you, it doesn't matter what my opinion is or anybody else's opinion, because the Word of God tells me here that there's no private interpretation of the Scripture. The Holy Spirit who gave the Word interprets the Word. And if you want to know the key to interpretation, all you have to do is to look at the Old Testament prophecies and how that they were interpreted in the New Testament. And they were interpreted literally. You see, the things that were revealed in the Old Testament concerning our Lord's first coming, they were all fulfilled in every detail. And the Holy Spirit is the interpreter of His Word. Doesn't matter what I say or what I think or what I believe. It's what the Word of God says. I think it was old Tucker in Belfast and Templemore Hall. He used to say, it was before my time, but those who heard him told me. He said, "Beloved," he says, "if you don't like what I say, take it home and chew it over. And if you still don't like it, spit it out." Now, it might have been a bit crude, but you get the idea. How true it is. It doesn't matter what man's belief or man's opinion is. It's "thus saith the Lord." And then he says this, finally in verse 21, he says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. This word that they're talking about, this voice that we've been thinking about tonight, it didn't come from man. It didn't originate with man. You see, beloved, this word came from God. It says, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The expression holy men, it just simply means men who were separated by God for the purpose. The word holy means separated. And God separated certain men in order that he would reveal his word to them by the Holy Spirit. It says that the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul, writing to Timothy, said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I want you to understand tonight, it wasn't the men who were inspired. It's the scriptures that were inspired. The words were inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But those men who recorded the scriptures were separated men by God to write what God wanted them to write. Some people have a problem with dictation of the Word of God. But this word that we have in our hands tonight is Spirit dictated. You can argue about the details of it if you like. But whatever way God did it, every word is from God. And that makes it vitally important. It says that they speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved there is an interesting word. You remember the situation then. Paul was on his way to Rome and they were shipwrecked. And Paul describes the shipwreck in detail. And he talks about the boat being driven. That's the only other place where this word is found. It means to drive, to be driven. And so these men who were separated by God, they were driven by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. God chose the men. He chose them, I believe, for their nature, for their character, and that comes through in their writing. But every word they penned, every jot, every tittle, was driven by the Holy Spirit. And that's why this is the most important book in the world. Because it is, in truth, the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And I would say tonight again, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. You see, beloved, not only do we need to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and love for charity, but we also need to hear the right voice. Because Jesus is coming again. And we need to be ready when he comes. We need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for his name's sake.